Lord. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. In just a moment, we're going to be reading verses 26 through 28, but we're going to be referring to other portions of the passage as we go through our message. We're continuing our series tonight, Famous Questions of the Bible. And tonight's question is, who can stand against God's people? Who can stand against God's people? You know, as children, we read all of these fictitious tales of giants. We were enamored by the stories of Gulliver's Trial, an adventurer who is shipwrecked on the island of Lilliput and awakens to find himself bound by little threads and held captive by little people. He is a giant in the land of Lilliput. And then there was the ever-chilling sound of fee-fi-fo-fum, the unforgettable refrain of the giant in Jack and the Beanstalk. And these stories of imaginary giants once entertained us as children, but now as adults, we have come to realize that giants are real. Giants are real. Why? Because a giant is simply defined as anything that is unusually large and powerful. A giant is not something that can be ignored, but it is something that causes you to stop and take pause. And in real life, we often face giants, giant-sized problems that are so large, so big, that we can't see any way over them, any way around them, any way through them. Fearsome situations that are bigger and more powerful than we are. And it might be a problem that keeps us up at night, anxious and worried. It might be a situation too big for us to handle, something that we have no power over. These are not make-believe giants. They're real-life situations that we as God's people are facing and fighting every day. And the Bible tells us a real-life story about a man named David who faced and conquered a very real, literal giant. Now, most of us are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. It's gained great popularity even beyond the walls of the church because it's a story of the underdog winning against all odds. And that's something that we like to cheer for and something we all hope for in our own lives because we all have our own giants that we face. Our giants may come in the form of sickness. It may come in the form of a financial crisis, a family problem, a moral challenge, a host of other things that are just too big for us to handle. And that's why David's story strikes a chord with each of us. But let's set the scene for this great victory. As many of you probably recall, the Philistines had come down and arrayed themselves for battle against the armies of Israel. Each army on opposite sides of the valley. And every day for 40 days, they sent out the undefeated champion of the Philistine army to challenge the armies of Israel. You see, the way they did battle back then was that each army chose their best warrior, their undefeated warrior, their champion. And as they chose their champion, they would send them out into the middle of the battlefield and they would fight it out. And then the losing side would just surrender. And in that way, they minimized injuries and casualties. Well, Goliath was the champion of the armies of the Philistines. And he was like the Terminator of ancient times. He is a one-man army standing about 9 foot tall. His armor weighed 120 pounds. You got to be big to walk in 120-pound armor, amen? He had 120-pound armor. The spear that he would throw, the head alone weighed 18 pounds, 2 ounces, and he could throw it very far distances. He was protected from head to toe by armor. He was like a human version of the Sherman tank, and he went rolling into battle, and everybody got out of his way. He was a very skilled warrior, and he knew it. He was arrogant and seemingly unbeatable. And for that reason, the Philistine army didn't really have to do a whole lot of fighting. They just sent Goliath out. Everybody was too scared of Goliath, so the enemy would surrender. The Philistines would get all their wealth, get them to be in submission to them, and then they'd go home without having to fight. On this occasion, morning after morning for 40 days, the Bible tells us this 9 foot tall giant took his stand against the armies of Israel and taunted them, mocking their God and challenging them to send out a man to fight against him. And that is just the way our personal giants are. They don't just come once and then they're gone. They come day after day after day, persistently trying to intimidate us, to break us, to strike fear in our heart, and get us to give up. And the army of Israel at this point was cowering in fear, intimidated by this terrible giant, paralyzed, unable to do anything. No one was willing to go out and fight against him, despite the fact that King Saul had promised anybody who would fight Goliath, and when they were promised his daughter's hand in marriage. They were going to get to marry into the royal family. And not only that, they were going to have a lifetime tax exemption in the kingdom. These are some big rewards. But nobody was biting at the bait. Nobody wanted to go against Goliath. And then David, who was just a teenager at the time, came to the camp of Israel. He was the pizza delivery boy, if you will. His father sent him to his brothers to bring crackers and cheese, to bring food for them, because in that day, the army didn't supply your, meals ready to eat stuff that they have. You had to bring your own food. Wow, we've come a long way. But David's father had sent him out there to bring food to his brothers. And so he comes to the camp of Israel, and he comes upon this very disturbing sight. But it's not the size of the giant Goliath that David finds disturbing. What David finds disturbing is the reaction of the Israelites. They were trembling in fear before this giant, certain of their impending destruction. But David saw something completely different than what anybody else saw. You see, he saw an ungodly enemy of God's people standing in the worst possible situation. Goliath was standing in defiance of Almighty God. That's what David saw. And that's when David asked the question that is the focus of our message tonight in 1 Samuel 17:26. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Hallelujah. Church, do you realize who you are? You are the army of the living God. Almighty God is with you. Glory to his name. The word defy is used here means to taunt, to ridicule, to shame, or to bring disgrace. This man was shaming. He was disgracing the name of God and his armies. And David is incensed that Israel has allowed this giant to keep on mocking God, and none of God's people are willing to respond. None of God's people will stand and confidently answer him. No one responds to his challenge. None is willing to rise up and stand against him in faith. David had more courage and faith than all the armies of Israel. This kid, this teenager, had more courage and faith than all the armies of Israel. And he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" See, David's courage and faith didn't come from arrogance. It didn't come from self-confidence that he thought he was all that and a bag of potato chips. His courage and confidence came from the fact that he knew who his God was. His God was the Almighty One. Hallelujah. Now, most of us are familiar with the rest of the story. David goes out against Goliath with no armor and with nothing to fight with other than a boy's slingshot and some stones. But he goes out against him in the name of the Almighty God, the God of the armies of Israel. And he defeats this great champion, not by his might, not by his power, but by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see something. David was not concerned with how well armed the giant was, because David was armed with the living God, who is greater than any opponent. And that's why David asks, "Who is this ungodly giant? Who is he to defy God? Who is he to stand against God's people? He's nobody. We are the armies of the living God." Folks, we are the army of the living God. Hallelujah. And David's question is a powerful question that is still so very important for our lives today. If we are to conquer the giants that are before us, especially knowing that we have an enemy, the devil, who is relentlessly seeking whom he may devour. So we want to look at this question tonight and see what it speaks to us. This question reveals that we need to have the right perspective, the right perspective. David asked, how can we let this godless pagan come out day after day and mock God's name and God's army? David clearly saw the challenge of Goliath from a completely different perspective than the rest of all of the armies of Israel. Even from his own brothers. Even from the king of Israel. David had a completely different perspective. So what is that perspective? It's the perspective we need to have. First of all, it's the perspective that we must look at our giant through the perspective. We must not look at our giant through the perspective of our limited strength. We must not look at our giant through the perspective of our limited strength. You see, as we read in the story around verse 24, what we see is that the armies of Israel saw Goliath, fled from him, and they were very afraid. That's what the scripture tells us. Everyone in Israel except David was focused on the giant. Everybody in Israel except David was focused on how big the giant was and how puny they were in comparison to him. Everyone in Israel was focused on the fact that Goliath was an undefeated champion, a professional soldier, a trained killer in combat, and they were no match for him. That's what their focus was. They were focused on their limitations because they were depending on their own strength. But David was not focused on the giant at all. David was focused on Almighty God. We need a different perspective, church. Hallelujah. We must look at our giant through the perspective of our God's limitless power. The giant that intimidated the rest of God's people incited faith in David's heart. Hear that. The giant that imitated the rest of God's people incited faith in David's heart. What the rest of the people saw was an insurmountable obstacle. What David saw was an incredible opportunity for God to show up and reveal his glory. One of my favorite passages of scripture in First Chronicles is, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for opportunity to show himself mighty on behalf of God's people. What are those opportunities? They're when we face a giant. They're when we face an impossible situation. They're when we face something too big for us. That's God's opportunity to step in, to show up and do something that only he can do. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Now, when King Saul saw a giant too big to fight, David saw a giant that was too big to miss. He's the size of a tank. How can I miss him? Hallelujah. David interjects a new factor into the equation that apparently the Israelites were not considering. Israel was acting as if God was irrelevant to their lives and situation. And for David, that's unthinkable. He's saying, we belong to God. We are God's army. God is going to show up on our behalf. The rest of Israel's army was acting as if God has nothing to do with the situation. We're on our own. But David was saying, this is God's battle because we are God's people. What a different perspective. Hallelujah. It's all about God, David was saying. It's about God's honor. It's about God's glory. It's about God's power. And David was relying completely on God. He testified of how God had given him the victory in time past against deadly threats that he had faced. As he was keeping his father's sheep on two separate occasions, a lion and a bear attacked and carried off some of the sheep. In himself, he was no match for these wild beasts. I don't know about you, but in myself, I see a lion, I see a bear, and unless I know God is with me, I'm running the other direction. In himself, he was no match for these wild beasts, especially while they were trying to protect their catch. Have you ever seen an animal trying to protect its catch? I have 6 strays in my backyard. I love cats. I have one that is my house pet, but I felt sorry for this pregnant mama, and she had 2 litters in my backyard. I fixed them all, but now I guess they're my responsibility because they've just stuck around, so I feed them all. But they like to hunt, and one of their favorite prey is lizards. Sometimes they even bring them to the back door as an offering for me. But the thing is that most of the time, because they're brothers and sisters, they get along real well. You know, they even groom each other and sleep with each other and everything. But if they have a catch and one of those other cats try to get close to them, They don't care brother, sister, blood, whatever. They're going to fight to protect their cat. Have you ever seen someone trying to protect their cat? And here was a bear and here was a lion that had a sheep in its mouth, a catch. And they're going to do everything within their power to protect that catch. David in himself was no match for them. And most of us, we would see a lion and a bear and we're going to run in the opposite direction. And we're going to be glad that they have a sheep in their mouth in order to distract them for a few moments, a snack, so we can get away. But David says in verses 35 through 37, I went after it. Huh? Instead of running away, you're running toward? He said, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed. Can you just picture that? I have a very vivid imagination. I just pictured David catching a hold of that lion's mane and just lifting him up and throwing him down to the ground. And that's not the strength of a teenager. That's the strength of Almighty God inside of David. He said in verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Hallelujah. See, David knew that he had not overpowered these ferocious animals in his own strength. He knew that it was the power of Almighty God working in him that it enabled him to have the victory over these animals. God had been faithful to give him the victory in the past, and he was confident that God would come through for him again. Different day, different enemy, same God, no sweat. Get that in your spirit. Different day, different enemy, same God, no sweat. As forbidding as Goliath may have been in the eyes of the armies of Israel, David's eyes were fixed on someone greater. You see, this is what the Apostle John told us in 1 John 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. The God that is living in you. The almighty presence of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you. Hallelujah. And there is nothing and no one in this world that can stand against the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We got to get that down in our spirit, church. Not just in our head, in our spirit. Greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. When that problem comes up, greater is he that is in me. When the doctor says cancer, greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. When the bank account is in the red, greater is he that is in me. When the pink slip goes out at our job, greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your neighbor is not excited, reach over and pinch them because I think they're dead. Hallelujah. Make sure they're still alive. Number two, this question reveals that we have to have the right attitude. See, the first thing we looked at is we have to have the right perspective. But this question also reveals that we have to have the right attitude. We need to have an attitude of determination. When David volunteered to go out against Goliath, his brothers made fun and rebuked him. In their eyes, he was just a puny little shepherd boy, and all he wanted was attention. You know how big brothers can be, amen? I grew up with a big brother and a big sister, and their full-time occupation was picking on their baby sister, amen? And so I can just see his older brothers just tell him, you're just a little kid. All you are is a glory seeker. All you want is some attention. Go back home. Go keep your sheep. You're not a soldier. And they're making fun of you. And then there was King Saul. And King Saul, even though he thought David was courageous, he thought he was foolish. And he asked, can you, a little kid, go out and fight against this seasoned warrior? You know, I admire your courage, David. But you're just plain dumb. You're a kid. He's a champion, a seasoned warrior. But David was undaunted by their doubts and criticism. Folks, there's sometimes when you're going through something that even those closest to you, that even your own family will not have the faith to stand with you and back you up. But you have to be determined in faith that with Almighty God, you're going through and you're going to win. Hallelujah. Folks, if you're going to fight the fight of faith, you've got to refuse to allow others to pull you down by their doubts and criticisms. Because there's others that will tell you, you can't do it. No, you can't win this. No, you've got to refuse to allow others to pull you down by their doubts and criticism. And then we need to have an attitude of defiance. The word defiance, as I'm using it here, means to resist, to reject, to oppose. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this godless person to stand against the armies of the living God? David is first and foremost outraged that the name of God is being ridiculed, that the name of God is being mocked, and his primary concern is for God's glory. How can we let this Philistine mock the name of our God? And David is incensed that Israel would be fearful of a godless pagan. A godless pagan. Who does he have on his side to help him? Nobody. He's a godless pagan. And David is incensed that the armies of Israel would be fearful of this godless pagan when they have Almighty God on their side. Folks, too often our attitudes towards our problem is purely defensive. Not defiant, but defensive. We may encourage others not to be discouraged over difficulties. We may talk about not losing faith. We may pray timid prayers for God to do something. But then we hunker down. We hunker down like the armies of Israel. There is an old hymn that I hate. It talks about holding the fort till Jesus comes. He never called us to hold the fort till Jesus came. He called us to raid the gates of hell in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But so often we get in that hunker down position where we're just going to hold on till the storm passes over. That's another song. Just going to hold on till the storm passes over. No, I'm going to reel and I'm going to fight in the darkness. And I'm going to say in the name of Almighty God, hallelujah. But we settle into a holding pattern and allow the enemy to take territory that rightly belongs to us. You see, the Bible tells us the Philistines set up camp within the borders of Israel. They let these ungodly enemies establish a camp in the land that belonged to God's people. And as long as the Philistines established a camp, God's people could have no rest. They could have no peace. They could not enjoy the blessings of God because they allowed the Philistines to set up camp. And folks, sometimes we allow the enemy to set up camp in our home. We allow the enemy to set up camp in our mind. We allow the enemy to set up camp in our emotions. And he keeps us oppressed. And he robs us of the peace and the joy and the blessing and the favor of God. Folks, we need to rise up in defiance. We need to go on the offensive as the armies of God. Hallelujah. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's nobody to defy Almighty God. Who is this guy that he can intimidate and paralyze God's people? And the implication, he's nobody, because we belong to God. God is on our side. And what is it that Paul said in Romans 8:31? He said, if God be for us, go hunker down and shake in fear, because we have a terrible enemy. Is that what he said? If God is for us and the doctor says you've got cancer, go lock yourself in the room, turn off all the lights, and go into a depression. Is that what he said? He said, if God be for us, hallelujah, then who? I ask you, who? Who can be against us? Hallelujah. To the name of the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Church, if God be for us, if God be for you, Who can be against you? Hallelujah. David refused to let the enemy or the size of the giant before him intimidate him. He refused to back up, back down, turn around, or give in. He refused. He defied the threats. He defied the fear tactics of Goliath. And he rose up and he went on the offensive. And he was saying, I'm going to take you down in Jesus' name, or in God's name. I'm going to take you down. I challenge every one of us here tonight to have the same attitude that David had. An attitude of defiance. What is this problem? What is this sickness? What is this trial? What is this thing that has come against your life? That as a soldier in the Lord's army, our God is not able to handle. Hallelujah. We need that attitude of defiance. When David went out to face the giant, Goliath made a threat against David to intimidate him. He laughed at his youth. And he said, I'm going to feed you to the birds and to the beasts. I'm going to rip your flesh apart. And I'm going to give a feast to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. You're nothing. You're a puny little kid. And I'm going to tear you apart. That's what the giant was saying. And I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts. David is going to use his very words and turn it back around him. Because the psalmist made this promise. That the very snares that the enemy sets for us, God will turn it around upon his own head. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. So when Goliath said, you're just a puny kid, I'm going to tear you apart and feed you to the birds and the beasts. Let's listen to how David responded. Oh, poor me. Oh, I'm going to turn around and go. That's not what David did. David said in verse 45 and 46, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You don't want to find yourself fighting against God. And he says, this day, you've been taunting the armies of Israel too long. You've been taunting the armies of Israel for 40 days. But this day, folks, there comes a time where we have to draw a line on the ground and say, enemy, no further. This day is victory day. Hallelujah. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me. And I will strike you down and I will cut your head off. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. I'm not just going to rip you apart, Goliath. I'm going to rip apart the armies of the Philistines and I'm going to feed them to the birds of the air. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Folks, when we rise up in faith and the enemy is defeated, it is a testimony to the whole world. When you rise up in defiance against cancer in your body and God heals you, it's a testimony to this world that God, a living God, is in our midst. Hallelujah. When you face a problem that you can't see any way out of, and you rise up in the name of the armies of the living God, and God delivers you, it is a testimony to this world to say that there is a God indeed in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. In essence, David said, Goliath, today you're going down. Today you're going down. David had faith that God was going to give him the victory. Now think about the giants you face in your life. And how do you speak to your challenge? Do you speak with that faith? Do you speak with that confidence? Or do you go around saying, oh, woe is me? Somebody asks you how you're doing, and instead of saying, praise God, I'm trusting in the Lord, God is getting me through, we're like, oh, woe is me. I'm a little bit under the weather. Or woe is me. I've got such a heavy burden. Poor me. No. How do we speak to our challenge? We need to speak like David spoke. We need to speak with defiance. We need to speak with faith. We need to have that attitude that says, devil, you're going down. Sickness, you're going down. Trouble, you're going down. In the name of our God. Hallelujah. And we also need to have an attitude of dependency. When David went out to face Goliath, he was certain that he was not standing alone. He was confident that when he went out on that battlefield, God was right there with him to fight on his behalf. And he was confident of what the outcome was going to be. He was confident that God would give him the victory. What is it the scripture says? Blessed be the Lord who gives us the victory again and again. What is it the scripture says? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. What are we, church? We are victorious. What are we, church? We are victors. There is nothing, there is no one that can win against the armies of Almighty God. Now, David was confident, and he overheard the men talking about the reward that King Saul had offered to anyone who would go out and fight Goliath and win. And he goes, what was that I heard? What did you say? He's going to give to the guy that will fight Goliath? And he asked the men to repeat it. He'll give his daughter's hand in marriage. He'll give you a lifetime tax exemption. Now I want you to see by faith, David is already looking beyond the battle. He knows he's not going to go out there and die. He's confident he's going to go out there and win. He's looking to his future. What is it Saul is going to give to the man that goes out there and wins? David is already collecting the reward in his heart. He's planning the royal wedding in his mind. And he's spending the wealth of that tax exemption. Because he has that much confidence in God that he's looking beyond the giant to the reward that comes on the other side. Hallelujah. Folks, sometimes when we face our giant, we act as if it's the end of the road. That this is going to defeat us. This is going to be the end of us. But faith looks to the future with hope. Faith looks to the future expecting that God is going to come through for us. And that we are going to come out on the other side better than before we went into the battle. Hallelujah! We need to have an attitude of dependency. A complete confidence in God. It was the same confidence that Moses had when the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea with a mountain on the right hand and on the left and Pharaoh's army closing in the back. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to stand still and see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Church, the Lord will fight for you. That's the promise he has given us. Glory to his name. We know the outcome of that story as well. God parted the Red Sea. Israel crossed over on dry ground. And when Pharaoh's army tried to pursue, the waters closed in on them and swallowed them up. And Israel never saw those enemies again. That day they went down in the name of God. Hallelujah. This is the same attitude Nehemiah had when Judah faced attack by the Assyrians. Nehemiah 4:20, he says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Folks, our God will fight for us. So what is this giant that stands before you? What is the giant that you're facing? What is the giant that has been taunting you? It is nothing for our God. There's a children's song. I told you this morning I was a children's pastor many moons ago. I was just an infant at the time. Even though I knew that wasn't my calling, that was the door God had opened before me, and I did it with all of my might. So I'm very familiar with many of the children's songs, and there's one that's called God is Bigger Than the Boogeyman. And this is what it says. I won't sing it for you because I want you to stick around till the end. It says, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. So are you frightened? No, not really. Are you worried? Not a bit. I know whatever's going to happen, that God can handle it. Hallelujah. Church, God is bigger than any boogeyman that you're facing. He's bigger than any giant that stands before you. And the whole point of David's question is that the giant doesn't win. When we trust in God, the giant doesn't win. We serve a God who is bigger than any sickness, any problem, any circumstance, any work of the devil. Hallelujah. You might hear this message and hear people shouting hallelujah. But in your mind tonight, you're thinking, oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what trouble I have. You don't know what I'm dealing with. It's too hard. It's too big. It's impossible. I can't do it. Folks, that's not the voice of faith. We've got to rise up in the voice of faith. If God be for us, who or what can stand against us? Are you facing a giant tonight? I want to ask you in a moment to come to this altar. And I don't want you to focus on your giant. I don't want you to come to this altar and tell God how big and bad this giant is, how strong and impossible and insurmountable it is. No, I want you to come to this God, to this altar, and I want you to focus on how big and how great and how powerful God is. Hallelujah. I want you to praise Him. I want you to magnify. You know what? The Bible tells us to magnify the Lord. Do you know what a magnifying glass does? It enables us to see things bigger. It doesn't make things bigger. It enables us to see them bigger. Now, God is already bigger than anything you can imagine. But sometimes we don't see Him as He is. So we need to magnify Him. Because when we begin to praise His greatness, when we begin to praise His power, when we begin to praise who He is, we begin to see Him bigger than we were seeing Him before. So I want us to come to this altar. If you're facing a giant tonight, I want you to come to this altar. And I want you to focus on God. I want you to focus in trusting in God, who is bigger, much, much bigger than any problem that we face. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. The scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tonight we have heard a faith-filled message. And I pray tonight that faith would arise in our hearts, Lord God, and that we would come to this altar with expectancy, that we would come with a spirit of determination, that we would come with a spirit of defiance, that we would come with a spirit of dependency, and we would declare, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What is this problem that stands before me in the sight of Almighty God? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to come to the altar.